From the high desert in the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, as the case may be, across all these many, many time zones spanning the world. And we cover each and every one of them ever so well, one way or the other, with this program, Coast to Coast AM, the largest talk show of its type in the world. There's simply no question about that. Nothing else is even close. Anyway, welcome. It's great to have you. And very quickly, at the beginning of the program, the webcam shot tonight. Go to coasttocoastam.com, Art's webcam, and you'll see Abby and Dolly. Our current two, we actually have three cats total, but two of them, and I can't resist. I guess it's like somebody posting photographs of their youngins. Dolly is the one on top, the little Philippine immigrant. And she actually sleeps on Abby. So that was an awfully cute shot. Absolutely irresistible. So there it is. Listen, I mentioned this last week, and I want to mention it again because all we did was crash the website several years ago, many years ago now. Ramona and myself went to France, and we found this little restaurant in the outskirts of Paris, really cool. And we finally, it's a long story, but we got something called Pete's Punch, and it is now actually on the market. Now, last week I mentioned the website where you can go to get pizza punch. It's something you put on a pizza topping that's really delicious, made with all kinds of herbs and all natural stuff, by the way, just natural stuff. And it crashed. The website crashed in about 9 seconds. Actually, I think I timed it. So I'm going to give out the website again tonight. We'll see how long it lasts. It's artbellspizzapunch.com. That's ArtBells. PizzaPunch.com. ArtBellsPizzaPunch.com. Good luck over there at the website. It is, I've enjoyed it for years, and people have been bugging me for years, asking me about it ever since I mentioned it ever so long ago. And it took this many years to get it going. All right, we've got a first hour guest coming up in a moment, and it all relates to the story from Arizona. Boy, is this a big story. Big, big story. Former Governor Fife Symington says now that those strange lights that appeared over Phoenix a decade ago were from another world, and that he had a close encounter with an alien craft on March 13th, 1997. That's quite a statement. He said, quote, "I'm a pilot, and I know just about every machine that flies. It was bigger than anything I've ever seen. It remains a great mystery. Other people saw it. Responsible people," said Symington. "I don't know why people would ridicule it," said Symington after his ridicule. Symington, who was in his second term as governor of Arizona during the Phoenix Lights incident, recently told a UFO investigator making a documentary that he'd kept quiet about his personal close encounter. Now, listen very closely here, because he didn't want to panic the populace. He repeated his story Thursday on CNN. I'm sure many of you saw it, saying the craft he saw was, quote, "enormous. It just felt otherworldly. In your gut, you could just tell it was otherworldly." The governor didn't let on at the time, instead poking fun at the whole thing, otherwise known as ridicule. He hosted a press conference a few months after the mass sightings to announce that his Department of Public Safety had arrested the culprit responsible, a very tall, bug-eyed creature, brought before the media in handcuffs and unmasked the creature to reveal his chief of staff, Jay Hyler, who at 6'4", made an imposing, somewhat comical space alien. Symington said the producer of the film Out of the Blue, James Fox, originally sought him out to talk about why he'd spoofed the sightings, but then asked if he'd seen the lights. He said, "Yeah, I got a good look." Heller said Thursday isn't surprised. Symington believes in UFOs, said his boss was a Trekkie who enjoyed discussing space travel. Heller and Symington was convinced that Earthlings would be traveling to distant solar systems at speeds exceeding the speed of light in our lifetimes. Heller said he remained the earthbound skeptic in those talks. Symington never mentioned his personal observation of the Phoenix lights, but always interested in getting to the bottom of it Miller said. The DPS was at a kind of loss as to how to investigate an alien visit. Now, this is one hell of a big story. Leslie Kane broke it. In a moment, Leslie Kane. Kane is an investigative journalist whose articles have appeared in numerous newspapers and magazines around the world. She is also, by the way, a contributing producer for an investigative news program on KPFA Radio, a Pacifica station, and the co-author of Burma's Revolution of the Spirit, the struggle for democratic freedom and dignity. In a moment, Leslie Kane. All right, just as I bring Leslie on, I would like to make note of one, I think, critically important line in this story. He says that he kept quiet about the whole thing because, quoting, he didn't want to panic the populace. Now, I've had on people commenting about UFOs, and to the person, they all say, oh no, if we found out something about a UFO, if we had a sighting, oh, believe me, the public would know about it just like that. What a load. Leslie, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Art. It's great to be here.
Good to have you. So you broke the story.
I did. I was very pleased because, you know, as a journalist, as you mentioned, it's a big story, and I was certainly able to recognize that.
It's a monster story, Leslie, but of course it would have been a lot bigger 10 years ago.
Well, that's true, but, you know, I think what's important now is to focus on the fact that this man has come forward, that it takes a lot of courage to do that, and we, you know, we can really benefit from him being part of all of this now, and he's really very committed to it. He cares. So I don't want to focus so much on the fact that he didn't do it before, although I know a lot of witnesses have strong feelings about it, but I'm just trying to get this out as a very positive development.
Well, it is a positive development, but it's inescapable, Leslie. After all, you know, we've had so many UFO stories, some of them better than others. This was one of the best, Leslie, one of the best. I was on the air the night this occurred and took a gazillion phone calls, and you know, it would have been so big. If the governor had come out and said he saw it, it would have been such a monster of a story. Now, I understand what he said about because he didn't want to panic the populace. But, I mean, was the populace honestly going to get any more panicked, in your opinion, than it was already if he had just said he'd seen it too?
I don't know, Art. I mean, I'm not really in a position to, you know what the answer to that is. I mean, my concern with all this right now is simply, as a journalist, I'm very interested in telling your listeners what it's like to try and cover a story like this, and just some observations that I've made, not only about the case in terms of my own investigation, but and also just how the media works around all of this. I think it's it's really, really an interesting journey to be on, quite honestly.
Boy, I agree with that. One thing I'd like to note, and see if you agree, Leslie, I'm going back to the night that I took all the millions of calls.
Right, right.
The next day, and the next week, and even the next month, Leslie, there was nothing in any other media. It's like it didn't happen.
I know, that was amazing until the USA Today story came out in June, which was what got the story onto the national level. But you're right, there was, except for your program, I'm sure, but there was about a two-month period where there was no national coverage anyway of this thing. It just disappeared.
And then it's like somebody threw a switch.
Well, it's one of the amazing components of it. I mean, I've talked at length with Frances Barwood, who I know you've had on the show before.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And, you know, she's fascinated by the fact that people literally seem to forget about it for a few months. And, you know, I've noticed this in other UFO cases. There is some kind of a mechanism sometimes that seems to be in operation where people have some kind of a blackout about what happened. And here it happened on a mass scale. So it's a very fascinating aspect of the whole thing.
Do you have any answers for that? I mean,
No, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that. But, you know, there are a lot of people that have looked into many cases where that seems to have happened to people where they just don't.
Yeah, but that's
remember.
Part of the media story, Leslie.
Excuse me?
How that's part of the media story. In other words, how can that happen? How can the media be silent about a giant event like that? 2 months go by and then all of a sudden, boom, all of the media is on it. Is it just the herd thing?
I really think it is, Art, because the media, you say, they're all on it. They get on it for a couple of days, and then it goes away. And what's important to me, you know, as an investigative reporter, I mean, when you look at the story like this, there are so many things that an investigative reporter could follow up on with this to take it much further. And I'm sure it's going to happen here. Now, there's going to be another round of media because the film Out of the Blue is going to be coming out with the original interview with Governor Symington with a lot more information in it than we have already. So there's going to be another blast of all of this stuff in about a month when this movie comes out.
Okay,
but,
how did
you know,
get
otherwise
on
it just disappears. It always happens.
Yeah.
You know, just a quick example, Art, of something that I wrote in my story, which is the one that actually first came out, which was last Sunday. You know, I don't know, and people can go on my website and read it, and you'll probably, the address is freedomofinfo.org. But the point is, I discussed the fact that in both in Belgium and in England, both of these cases in the 1990s, there was a very similar, if not identical, triangle observed over those two countries. It was thoroughly investigated by the government. There were many witnesses. They were all interviewed. There was data collected. The Air Force in Belgium got all this stuff on radar. The Ministry of Defense investigated the case in England. They were 3 years apart. Both those governments came out publicly and stated that this craft was a craft of unknown origin. They could not identify what it was. They released the information to the public. Now, when you compare that to what's happening in America, the contrast is vast, of course, because our government doesn't even acknowledge that anything happened in Arizona. But the point being, any investigative journalist who is interested in this could follow up on those cases in Europe and draw the comparison between what happened here and what happened there. And there's so many little things like that that come out and nobody follows up on them. And that's what's really astounding to me.
How did you get onto this story?
I got onto this particular story because I'm very closely associated with James Fox, who's one of the producers of the film Out of the Blue that I mentioned earlier.
Right.
And I've been a colleague of his and of the other producers for years. And so I was kind of privy to the fact that James, who originally met with Symington and interviewed him, was informed about this. And we both, you know, he recognized that it was a big story. I recognized it was a big story. And we all kind of decided together that we would get it out, try to get it out by the anniversary of the Phoenix Light, the 10th anniversary, which we just had.
Right.
And so, you know, I was very, very pleased to be able to. And then I, of course, did my own interview with him. And as I said, there will be more that will come out in April when Out of the Blue gets released for the second time. But I was very pleased to be able to break the story on the, you know, in the print media, and that's sort of the way it happened. It was through my association with Out of the Blue.
All right. Well, Governor Symington goes quite a bit further than saying he saw the Phoenix Lights. He, you know, he goes on to say, apparently, that what he thinks he saw was an alien craft. Yeah, and that's a big jump.
That is a big jump. And, you know, and I think the first step to make really clear, the first point he makes was that he did see a physical craft with dimensions, with shape. It was not just lights. And one of the things I've noticed, which is one of the points I wanted to make, Art, to your listeners, is the media is very fond of referring to this event as the lights. If you notice in the, you know, the AP story that you were sort of quoting from in the beginning of the show, they keep referring it to the lights. The governor saw the lights. In fact, he didn't. He saw a physical craft, a vehicle with edges, you know, with a physicality that had some lights on it. Mm-hmm. And the point that's really important also along those lines is to make a distinction between the 8:30, there was a group of a sighting that occurred between 8:15 and 9:45.
The flares and the real thing, yeah.
Exactly. And that's when the thousands of people saw this solid object over Phoenix and in other locations throughout Arizona. Then there was a separate event at 10 o'clock, which is those famous videos, you know, that we've all seen many, many times of the row of lights that some people believe were flares. And anyway, it's very important for people to realize that those were two different events. Mm-hmm. And the media, every single media story you read, they mix them up. They just say, oh, there were these lights, and some people say they were flares and blah, 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 blah. But there was a very separate event at about 8:15, and that's the window of time in which Governor Symington saw the object, in which it was a physical object, and it was not the same thing as the pictures that we all see of those, you know, the row of lights, which Bruce Maccabee, among others, believe were flares, according to their own analysis. But we know that the time period in which the governor saw this object, we're not dealing with the issue of flares at that time. We're dealing with the fact that there was a physical craft in the sky and thousands of people saw it.
You bet. Leslie, did you speak to the governor?
I did. I did a lengthy interview with him myself, yes.
All right. All right, good. Can you characterize the governor's demeanor during that interview at all.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, there are some things that just don't come out in a story, and one of those is the demeanor of the person doing the interview.
That's absolutely right. And, of course, it will come out when people see the movie Out of the Blue. They will see him on camera. And he's a very straightforward, uncomplicated, you know, direct person. I mean, he's very, you know, he's just willing to sort of cooperate on us with this. I mean, he's just a very honorable, believable, credible person. And, you know, he doesn't give long, long detailed answers. He just right to the point and, you know, says, you know, I've decided now that I want to make amends to people. You know, this does not deserve to be ridiculed. He had his reasons for what he did at the time, and he's given an explanation for it. And I'm sure that we will learn more over time about all of that. But he seems extremely sincere to me. And he's also been very concerned that this story come out properly. That's why, you know, he wanted me to be the one to do it, because he knows I've written on UFOs before, that I know something about them. It's not going to be some fluff piece that's going to come out. And he really does care about how the information is presented, and he cares that the truth be told about this event. He wants the government to investigate this. And
Leslie,
he's going to get behind that. He's not going to back off.
Did he have regret now that he did not come out then, and if he had it to do all over again, would he have come out?
Well, you know, he certainly regrets having done that press conference. I mean, does not seem to have been as aware as he would have liked to have been about how much that upset people. In terms of whether he wishes he would have come out, I didn't ask him that question directly, so that's something that we'll have, you know, somebody else will have to, I don't want to speak for him on that. I mean, there were so many factors that affected his decision not to come out.
Was the press conference his idea?
Excuse me?
Was the press conference his idea?
He says it was entirely his idea, and that nobody pressured him, nobody influenced him, and that's what he says, that he just wanted people to lighten up, and so he decided to do this. Again, hopefully we'll learn more about all of that as things unfold, but that's what he says, yes. It's his idea.
Leslie, this is just asking for your opinion as a reporter.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the reason he gave is he didn't want to panic the populace. Okay, fair enough. And, I think that something like that could panic the populace. If the government had hardcore evidence that something from somewhere else was in our skies at any given time, is it your opinion that for the very same reason they would probably make the very same decision?
Yes, Art, it actually, and I don't know if that's your opinion, but yes, it is my opinion.
Mine
it
too.
Is, that, and that there may even be some wisdom in that opinion. You know, I don't know.
There may be.
You know, I think, you know, he said he didn't want people to panic. He also said he didn't want to stir the pot up too much. I mean, he was going through a lot of issues in the state of Arizona at that point. He was an elected official. And so I think, you know, he just didn't want to muddy his own situation. You know, he was being challenged by the courts for some kind of in a court case.
Yes.
And so I don't think he felt that, you know, saying he'd seen a UFO would help his situation very much. That's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there were a lot of things. And as you know, people and elected officials have a lot of trouble dealing with this issue. So I don't know whether he would say, you know, if I look back on that, that he could have felt he could have done that part any differently. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you, Art. I think that he represents, what most people in government would probably feel about this. If in terms of the question of whether they would speak out about it or not, if they knew something.
Well, times certainly are changing, but not that much. And I really feel, and I've said this again and again, despite other people's protests on the subject, that they just wouldn't make it public, Leslie. The Brookings Institution did a big study on this, and they kind of said the same thing, that if we had hard evidence of aliens being here, it would probably better be kept secret.
Right, especially if they would have to say that they're here and we can't do anything about it, and we have no power, and they have better technology than we do. And that's it. Good night. You know, end of story. I don't think any government wants to admit something like that.
How did he imagine that his now admitting this would affect the whole story?
Very interesting question, and I can't really say except that he seems very committed to pursuing the truth on this matter. I mean, he really believes that there's an issue here that needs to be investigated, and I think he's going to be really helpful. And that's as far as I know right now.
All right. All right, Leslie, hold it right there. We're talking to Leslie Kane, who broke the Fife Symington story about what he really saw, what he now admits he really saw, which he calls an alien spacecraft. He believes it was an alien spacecraft. So we're going to take a break here, and we're going to continue exploring this along with, by the way, she did a story on the O'Hare sightings. And something on the French government, which just released all they've got. I'm Art Bell. Tis I. Hello, everybody. Leslie Kane is here. She broke the Symington, Governor Fife Symington story. I'll get it right. Maybe. It's a big story. It really is a big story, but it's not her only story. She's reported on UFOs previously. I think she just filed something on the O'Hare sighting. Previously, she's had other stories, the Kecksburg UFO case, and others. If she's not careful, she'll get to a certain point, and she'll be known as the UFO reporter. In a moment, Leslie Kane. Well, let's see. The Kecksburg crash, that was a big story. And then she wrote about, I guess it was Kecksburg, actually, in the lawsuit, and the UFO thing in the Boston Globe. That was a French thing, and then O'Hare, and now, of course, Fife Symington. Leslie, how many UFO stories do you think you can write before you get to be the UFO reporter?
Geez, I don't know. Maybe I already am the UFO reporter. Art, maybe I'm the only one. I don't know.
Believe me, I mean, you can report on mainstream everything, and then just about six or seven UFO stories in a few years, and they will label you. Anybody who doesn't like you, Leslie, is going to label you the UFO gal.
I know. Well, so far it's been okay, and I think it's because I'm so careful about what I publish, Art, that I publish only very factual, straightforward information. So I haven't really given people a lot of fodder to make fun of me, and so far it's really been okay, I have to say, actually.
Good.
So, just got to know how to present this issue. And I've had a lot of good people advising me, and you have to present it in a certain way where you don't give anybody fodder to make fun of you.
Right. So, well, they will anyway. What have you written on the O'Hare thing?
On O'Hare, basically, the story was broken by John Hilkovich from the Chicago Tribune. You've probably talked about it on the show, right?
Oh, yes.
People know what it's about. So I did a follow-up piece to his piece. Basically, I wanted to put the whole thing in a kind of a bigger context of dealing with aviation safety issues. And also, I did an interview with the FAA about it, following up on Hilkovich's interview. But they told me that it was something, first of all, they said it was weather, right, as you know. Mm. But then they got more specific with me and said it was something called a hole punch cloud, which is a very specific phenomenon that occurs very rarely, but it does happen where you'll see this clear-cut hole in a cloud, like people describe that this object caused this hole. And anyway, I was able to interview a bunch of cloud physicists and climatologists and find out that it absolutely could not have been a hole punch cloud because it was too warm that day. A hole punch cloud can only occur in below freezing temperatures. I mean, that's a simple answer. So here the FAA is suggesting that it's something that can't even exist in those kinds of conditions. It pretty much wipes out their argument. They've been able to offer nothing else to explain away this situation. So I was hoping in my story... I just wanted to keep the attention on the subject,
Not to mention the eyewitnesses who saw solid craft, Leslie.
Absolutely. I mean, and that was well covered by Hilkovich. I was trying to sort of add to that, and I also did an interview with John Callahan, who was very high level in the FAA in the 80s. You may be familiar with him.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and he was head of accidents and investigations and was involved with the Alaska case in 1986 over, the Japan Airlines case.
Yes.
So he's very experienced in dealing with this very situation where the FAA has all kinds of potential. They had a lot of data in that case, and then they basically wrote it off. So he came out as an advocate for this particular case in the story, and made this very nice little quote here. He says this was predictable, the response of the FAA here, and he says the FAA will offer a host of other explanations as if they're wearing a blindfold. It's always something else, so it can't be what it is.
Yeah, well, it used to be swamp gas. Now it's a hole punch cloud.
Exactly. And what will it be next time? You know, I mean, they'll just come up with whatever is convenient, and this happens. But it was important that we have somebody of his stature, I think, to make that kind of a statement.
No question about it. Yeah, you're doing really good work, and I don't want to discourage you at all. Don't be discouraged. This is really important stuff. It really is important stuff.
I get more inspired every time. It's that you get into this battle mode here, and you just want to keep pushing. Could I give out my website, Art?
You certainly can.
If people want to go read this, the original story on Fife Symington was just much more complete than anything that's come out since. Go to the website, which is www.freedomofinfo.org. Freedom, short for Freedom of Information. And on that site, there's a link to the Out of the Blue website, and you can actually see a clip of Governor Symington on that site talking about what he saw.
So
go to freedomofinfo.org, and then you can go to Out of the Blue, which is outoftheblue.com.
Well, I hope your website's ready for a lot of traffic.
I hope it doesn't crash like the French government website did.
Yeah, the French. Yeah. Listen, what do you think of the French, by the way?
I'm very pleased with what they've done. And my first story that I wrote for the Boston Globe in 2000, my first UFO story, I've covered lots of other subjects, but was about the French report, the Cometa report, which you probably remember.
I do.
So I was very pleased with that. And I think it's terrific that they've released these files. And I look forward to getting somebody to translate all 100,000 documents.
Don't you find it? I found it really intriguing. It's coming out that rather 25% of the reports the French are disclosing were completely inexplicable. 25%. Now, that's a far, far higher number, Leslie, than any other government has ever admitted.
That's true. Although, wasn't that comparable to the Project Blue Book? Didn't they have something like 30% or?
No.
33%. I thought it was when you actually looked at the
lower.
Data. I think they claimed it was lower, but isn't it when you actually looked at it that it was much higher? I don't exactly
maybe
remember.
It's subjective, but the official version was very low, under 10%.
No, the official version was, but I think if you actually read it, you know, people like Stan Friedman who have studied this thing inside out, I think they concluded that it was actually quite a large percentage of cases. But here the government is coming out and actually saying it.
Do you think that the French government's releasing virtually everything, I assume we've got most of it, is going to lead other governments, perhaps even ours, doing the same thing?
Let's hope so. I mean, I was hoping the Cometa report would lead our military to, you know, take similar steps, because there are so many issues they addressed in that report had to do with the military and national security and so forth. And, of course, it didn't happen, but, you know, maybe there's something now that's going to happen here. We've got Symington. We've got these French documents. We've got a lot of other sightings going on around the world. Maybe we've got some momentum here.
Actually, we're having a flap right now, as English
would
say.
Seems that way, doesn't it? Yep.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
Seems that
it does.
Way. So we've got a lot happening all at once.
Are you going to stay?
The O'Hare sighting was only a couple of months ago also.
Yes. Yes, are you going to stay very hard on this area, Leslie?
Am I going to stay with Phoenix Lights?
No, not necessarily. No, with the whole subject.
Yes, absolutely. I'm very committed to it. Yeah, I mean, once you get hooked on something like this, it's hard to stop. And I think it's an extremely important subject, and I only wish more journalists would take it seriously. It deserves to be taken seriously.
Have you ever seen anything yourself?
I haven't, no. And, you know, and I've been told, and I believe it's probably a good thing that I haven't, because it sort of gives me an aura, greater aura of objectivity if I haven't seen one myself, if you know what I mean.
Not only do I know what you mean, but unfortunately, I had a sighting years into doing this program. I had a triangle come directly over me.
Uh-huh.
And my wife, and I thought about it, Leslie,
yeah.
Really, really, really hard before I went public with it. And the only reason I did is finally because I brought my wife at the time on, and she, of course, backed up everything I said. Had it been myself alone, I think I would have never said a word.
Mm. Was that as big as the one in Phoenix?
That's subjective, but it was monstrous, and when it went over, the moon went away, the stars went away, And then I watched it cross the entire valley. It was deadly, absolutely silent, about 150 feet above me. No sound whatsoever, no propulsion system of any kind. It wasn't flying. Could have been doing more than about 30 miles an hour. So it was floating, or if you wish, defying gravity, whichever.
Right. Sounds just like what they described. In fact, when I talked to Simon, and he kept emphasizing the silent part of it, how absolutely phenomenal that the dead silence was, and how that made him feel that it could not possibly be one of ours. We just don't have technology
and
like that.
Yes, and what I saw had all kinds of substance to it. It was black in color. It was, you could make out the details of it, it very, very clearly. I felt like I could have thrown a rock at it. It was that close, Leslie. So.
Amazing.
You know, maybe it's better if you don't see something because, as you point out, it lets you be more objective.
Who knows? I'd sure like to. You know, we're hoping also, Art, that maybe Symington's statement will help other witnesses feel encouraged to speak out about this, maybe other people in higher levels in government or in levels of profession where they felt they couldn't talk about it. And just to mention very briefly, there's going to be a conference next weekend in Arizona, specifically for the purpose of providing a forum for witnesses, and witnesses are going to be there and talk about this incident.
Uh-huh.
And so I promised the organizer I would give out the website. It's www.siriusseminars.com, S-I-R-I-U-S, seminars.com, if anybody's interested in attending. Or they can send me an email if they didn't get to write that down from my website, and I'll give them the information.
SiriusSeminars.com.
Yes.
Leslie, how's the feedback to what the governor has said been so far?
Well, you know, I think it was. I'm glad you asked that because it's been pretty positive. I mean, the media has been all over this, and he has decided after doing CNN, which was on a couple of days ago, that he's not going to do any more media for a while. But it was really quite respectful and positive, and just Friday, this story came out on the AP. Which I feel is beginning the sort of tinge of ridicule that we always get with these stories. You know, they talk about the fact that he was a Trekkie, and they talk about, and then they bring on a pilot who says, oh, it was just airplanes, and the guy, you know, only any rational person would realize that. And it's, it's just much more the typical kind of story. So far, there's a lot of interest. I just hope that it doesn't become sort of an attack on him after a while. You know, that's what often happens. But it's been amazing how much interest there is in this.
It says further down in the article, Tucson astronomer and retired Air Force pilot James McGaha said he investigated two separate sightings over Phoenix that March night and traced both of them to A-10 aircraft flying in formation at high altitude.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's fine. But, you know, 1,000 other people saw something between 8:15 and 8:45 that was not airplanes in formation. I mean, that's just a fact. And, you know, for AP to pick this one guy and the whole story with his comments as if it's sort of the definitive, you know, perspective on the whole thing, it just is very biased.
Well, Leslie, here's one for you. Remember the sighting I told you I had?
Yes.
Well, many, many people here in the Pahrump Valley, the valley where I live in southern Nevada, also saw the same craft that night. And, of course, they all contacted the local newspaper and media here in Pahrump. And the newspaper, in turn, called Nellis Air Force Base and said, what the hell's going on?
Mm.
Nellis said, oh, yes, there was a secret mission that may have overflown the Pahrump Valley on that night at about that time. It was a C-130 aircraft on a secret mission.
Yeah,
now,
right.
I flew in C-130s, Leslie. They're not triangular. They have extremely loud engines that would rattle your teeth at 150 feet, and they have no relationship whatsoever to what I saw. It was an insult.
Exactly. That's just exactly right, Art, and that's exactly what this James McGaha statement is to Symington and every other person who saw this thing. I mean, it was so low. You just said it all right there from somebody who actually saw it themselves. I mean, and then there was the case in Illinois in 2000, do you remember that, of the police officers that saw this thing in the middle of the night in different locations?
I've run the audio, the actual radio audio from that here on the air, Leslie.
Excellent.
And it's astounding to really hear it.
I've heard some of that. There was a documentary on the Travel Channel, of all places, about it that was really excellent. And they played the tapes of when the officers were calling in to the headquarters to report it. And that's what you're probably talking about.
It is.
Leslie, listen,
I'm just asking for an opinion here. So everybody be clear on that. But Leslie, how much do you imagine that our government really knows about this topic that they're not saying?
Again, I mean, it's all opinion and conjecture, but it's hard for me to imagine that since these sightings have been going on for, let's say, since the 1940s, maybe longer, how they could possibly not be interested in something like this. It's just inconceivable that therefore, if you want to assume, they've got to be interested in things flying around. Therefore, to whatever capability they have of collecting information about these things, they're obviously going to do that. Maybe they've retrieved craft that have crashed. I don't know, but any rational person would have to assume that the government is going to be interested in something like this.
Well, here's an angle, Leslie. After Blue Book, after Project Blue Book, mm-hmm. the government said, well, we don't know what these are, but whatever they are, they are not a threat to national security. Now, that's an amazing statement, because if aircraft in violation of your airspace can violate it at will, and that's not a threat to national security, I would be interested in what a threat to national security, how it is defined.
Exactly, especially now after 9/11, when people are so concerned about it. That was a very, you know, that came up a lot around the O'Hare case. You have something hovering over an airport in restricted airspace. Isn't that a threat to some kind of security?
Very busy airspace.
And if it had been a plane, this is a point that's very important, if that had been a plane from, you know, let's say an unidentified airplane that had come in from, let's say, even from another country, or even, you know, some pilot that was off course, it would have been tracked and investigated, and it would have been a big deal and considered a safety violation. So here, just because it's something they, you know, that looks like a disc, they're going to decide it's not a threat? It doesn't make any sense at all.
Other countries are so much more open. For example, Mexico, where they've actually, in Mexico City at the airport there, they've actually had collisions and near collisions, including collisions with UFOs.
Right.
And they report on these things. Here, as the old movie goes, no, I don't want to report one of those things.
Exactly. I think we're really on the extreme, and that was, and again, the example I gave of both Belgium and the UK, which have acknowledged publicly that these triangles exist and that they can't identify them. They're not American. They're not anything else that you can explain. I mean,
well, normally,
can you imagine if the American government ever came out and said that? I mean, it would just be unthinkable, because we're so used to having our government be in such denial about this.
Normally, Leslie, if we have something, even in the test stage, it's leaked like crazy. You know, there are pictures of it and that sort of thing. You don't see pictures of these giant triangles, even in speculation, with regard to some secret U.S. aircraft that's being developed.
That's absolutely right. And if let's say these triangles have been seen since the 70s, if we had that technology, wouldn't we have used it by now?
That'd be my opinion.
I mean, but we you know, it's inconceivable. I mean, anybody who saw this thing over Phoenix, and you yourself, I don't know. It's pretty hard to imagine that we could have that technology, from what I've heard about it. But if we did, why would they be flying it around over populated areas? And why wouldn't they be making use of it?
Well, the other side of the argument is there are all kinds of UFO reports, even of UFO crashes, going on right now in Iran. And of course, we're very interested in what's going on in Iran right now. So maybe we are flying something or another. However, if something like that had crashed, the Iranians would be parading it around in the streets, and there hasn't been any of that.
Right. Now, that Iranian crash thing, I remember reading about that. That sounded pretty interesting, but I don't know much about it.
It's hard to get information
out of Iran, I guess.
I know. There's probably another story there. I'm proud of you for following this path, because, you know, there's a possibility of being ridiculed when you do this kind of story. So stay careful, Leslie.
Thank you. It is difficult. I mean, I wasn't trying to diminish that. I get it's more difficult when I'm one-on-one with people, when people ask what I do. You know, when you mention UFOs, and there's always sort of this laugh or something like that.
I know.
But
I know.
I'm very grateful that, you know, there hasn't been any kind of public attack or ridicule so far. I think I've just been very careful about how I present it, and that's the key thing. So.
Stay careful. Yes, there's almost an obligatory chuckle at the end of any UFO story.
That's absolutely right. When you mention the word, it's so loaded, you know. That's why a lot of scientists prefer to use some other terminology. So it's not fun, but, you know, hopefully it'll change.
Leslie,
over time, the more, you know, the more serious information we can get out there, the more and more people will acclimate to it.
Well said. Leslie Kane, thank you for being here.
Thanks very much for having me, Art.
Good night.
Good night.